To our viewing community.
It was great shows.
The show
there
sucks.
There were great shows without
We know. We heard you.
It was great shows.
Twitter was blowing up.
It, like crazy.
How much it sucks.
They say, thank God he's not there. But other than that, guys.
By the way.
What's up?
Happy 200 show.
200 buddy. Show. Yeah, 201
sorry,
now.
201. 201 right
today.
Now. Today. Yeah. But happy 200
yes, man.
Episode. We made it.
Thank you to everybody watching that night. I really do appreciate you guys. That was
absolutely
awesome. So,
yeah.
Quez pinch hit for this ugly thing, so he came in.
And he saw.
No, he was all. He clutched. He clutched that day. Other news, also, just heard today, Roman Reigns' papa just passed away, man.
Oh.
Sika, one of those Wild Samoans, passed away. Our hearts go out to the family, and
yeah,
hopefully they get through this tough time, man. Hopefully everything turns out okay.
His dad, like so many of the family members, were
was
tougher than us.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Tougher than us right now.
Coconuts with their heads.
Absolutely.
Something
bare
I
hands.
Wish
bare
I could have learned that when I was in junior high.
Yeah.
But
that
would have
been
coconuts.
Great. Yeah.
A lot of dead people in front. But that's another story.
No, but thoughts and prayers out to the family.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers. Yeah. But also, a big shout out to Thread Beast, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Thread Beast, man.
You won't up shut with up about Thread Beast.
Dude, man, I appreciate you guys. Say hooking me up with this, man. You get a chance, go out to threadbeats.com. Have them dress you up for once. Yeah, that'd be someone else to dress you up their style. See how that comes out.
Now, I know you've enjoyed your new outfits, dude, but what has your family said, dude? That's
midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Midlife crisis.
But,
well, yeah, it is what it is, you know. It is what it is. But enough about us, dude.
Yes.
Today.
Who's our special guest?
Special guest today has come back to check up on us.
Yes.
After the last time. See, we've been exercising. And I don't know about you.
Doesn't it look like I've been exercising?
I've been exercising. Man. Hey, I'm in shape. A circle is a shape,
yes,
people.
A circle is.
I am definitely in shape. And in perfect shape, I might ask. But
a puddle of mud is also a shape, too.
It has been raining quite a bit. But that's another whole story. Guys, we like to welcome back with us, back in the pod, Mr. David Norick in the podcast once again. Holy gosh, darn it. Hold on, man. You get that speaker on. There you go. Now we hear you.
There we go. Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, my goodness, man. It's been a minute, guys. It's been a minute. He brought a special guest with him.
I did.
But what's your name there, buddy?
My name is Taylor Esparza.
Taylor Esparza on the Chewing New Podcast for the first time.
Dude.
Oh, we're going to have fun with him, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of fun with him.
We're going to make him regret showing up.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, guys, let me go ahead and pop this up there for you guys to see. If you are wondering who David Norick is, he is the author of that little book right there. You want to click on that QR code, go straight to that Amazon. Shout out to Amazon. Hope you sponsor us. look up with those guys, and they will get you the book. It's a great book, man.
Yeah.
It's a great book. I have gone over it about quite a few times, and I know my son was doing it. He likes the artwork, by the way. The artwork kind of blew me
out. The artwork is really good. We I don't know if this is a direct
look at that
correlation to the artwork in the book, but
well, we're gonna get a explanation on this one right now in a few minutes, because they came bearing gifts, guys.
Yes.
They came bearing gifts. This is awesome. I love that. But we want to all say thank you for your coming back, man. I appreciate you coming back. What has been new in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, what's been going on?
I mean, golly, you're all over the news, dude.
I'm all over the news.
I mean, not on America's Most Wanted, but you're all over the news.
Well, there's been a lot of cool stuff since I last came out. Working on book number 2, got a documentary, working on that.
Nice.
Just appeared on Dr. Phil, on the Dr. Phil primetime show.
Awesome.
I have this guy here now working with me. It's such a blessing to have somebody else working with me on this project. He's brought in so many wonderful ideas. We not just me, but we just won a very prestigious pitch competition for UTRGV. So
that's awesome.
And that's awesome, bro. so many great things happening right now. It's a really cool time.
That's awesome. It's good to see you back, man. I know we were chit-chatting before the podcast on some stuff he wants to let off his chest. But first and foremost, how's the book doing, bro?
The book's doing well. It's just trying to get it out there. I just had it translated into French and also into Spanish.
Wow, so wonderful. That's awesome.
Moving it to French-speaking countries and Spanish-speaking countries as well. So
that's awesome.
Just trying to get out of, I shouldn't say, I mean, it sounds bad, but I'm trying to get the book out of the valley, not in a bad way, but just, get the exposure out there.
Exactly.
And get that out to the world. For sure.
Absolutely. That's awesome. What's been the public reaction to you? Have you heard anything?
Yeah, it's been really supportive, which is really cool considering, you know, the Valley tends to get a bad rap, you know, that everybody says, like, we have this crab attitude, right? Everybody's like in the bucket, and you see somebody trying to get out of that bucket, and the crab grabs it and brings it back down. And,
right.
And people in the Valley don't like to support each other. Well, but I've had a lot of good support.
That's awesome.
And, it's just a lot of good doors have been opening and just... Yeah.
Rocking and rolling.
Well, wonderful.
Trying to.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, man. So from the last time we talked, I mean, you've been on Dr. Phil. I know, I'm not sure we should just jump straight into the nitty-gritty with that one. Or maybe we should go on a lighter. Well, you know, we'll save the lighter note with David because I know David has a great story. Mm. So we'll go out that way. They're like, yeah, get to the juicy stuff. Man, I know Taylor wants to say, yeah, get to the juicy stuff. So let's go ahead and take it away, man. We know your backstory already from the first episode. If you guys haven't seen the episode beforehand, it was one of our first episodes in the old studio.
Yes.
Man, it was a great episode because he came bearing gifts also with some really cool books. So, but let's take a walk down to supposedly not Hollywood, what we were talking about earlier. So, David, talk to us, man. Tell us the experience on, do you know what's going on with Dr. Phil? let's try to give us the info. What's going on?
I mean, to rewind a little bit, about a year ago, one of the things I like doing for exercise, I like going mall walking. I know I'm not old enough to really join the mall walkers that are there every day. But you know, it's still something I like to do. And around this time last year, I was walking around the mall and I see this guy on one of the scooters, and he has his lady behind him, and they're driving around the mall. And I'm about to leave, and he lets her off, and I'm kind of being nosy, really, and I'm
right.
I overhear their conversation. He's talking about health, and and I ask him, like, "Hey, man, I hear you talking about health." He's like, "Yeah, I am." Where he asked me who I am, what I do, and we actually got kicked out of the mall because we can't record in there,
right?
And
yeah,
so he asked me to take him around McAllen, show him why we're the number one obesity in America for 7 straight years.
Wow!
And about a month after that, after I met him, a bunch of people from around the world started reaching out to me on my socials, you know, like for friend requests, stuff like that.
Right.
And I'm like, what's going on? And they said, well, have you seen your YouTube video? I'm like, no. Well, the guy's name is Tyler Oliveira. He's a huge YouTuber. And right now that video has close to 13 million views.
Oh, wow.
So that thing went viral. And so the reason I'm sharing that is because of that video, a lot of people have seen it, seen my story and such. The Dr. Phil show, they saw that video, they reached out to me, they're like, hey, we're gonna do a story on obesity, diabetes. We're gonna travel down to McAllen. We would love for you to be in the video, show us around, and so forth. I'm like, all right, it's great. Thank you for thinking of me. And you know, when I spoke to the producer, he was really big on my personal story, you know, of why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because I'm very passionate about that, and I'm very serious about that. To me, my personal story is not clickbait. It's nothing like that. It's something I take very seriously.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
And so they came down, and we started filming. You know, they followed me in the car driving, talking about McAllen. And what I noticed right off the bat was I would answer a certain way, and the field producer would stop me afterwards and say, okay, that was really good, but say it again, but this time make sure you mention the phrase food addiction. And the first time it happened, I was like, okay, I can do that, right?
Right, right.
I can't tell you how many times it happened after that, all day long. But say it again, but with food addiction. And I remember after that whole day of shooting, I just did not feel good about, like, the whole thing.
Right.
I'm like, they're putting things in my mouth as to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it's not coming off as genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was just wrestling with that. And initially they said, you know what, we're going to have you on the show. On top of what we're recording, we're going to actually have you on the show.
Okay.
And so about 3 days before the show, they sent me my flight information. They sent me hotel information, everything.
Right.
Gearing me up, everything I needed to know to be on the show.
Right.
They even had me record myself talking to Dr. Phil, telling him, hey, this is who I am, and I'm going to be on the show with you.
Right.
Just so he can get to know me a little bit.
Exactly.
The day after they sent me all that, I get another message, and they said, you know what, we're not gonna need you to come up after all. Which I was fine with that. Initially, when they reached out to me, they were just going to come record here in the Valley, and they were going to show that on the show.
Right.
When they told me I was going to be on the show, I thought, okay, I remember everything I had to say with food addiction. I mean, they even had me saying that my brother and sister passed away because of food addiction, which is the case.
All right.
They died because of complications of diabetes, but
food
addiction, no.
Right.
Especially my brother. He was never obese.
Right.
And so when I found out I was not going to be on the show, man, I had a lot of hesitation because I thought, if I'm on the show and they show this video and they show me talking about food addiction, especially with my family and my city, I'm going to be there to defend my brother and sister who passed away.
Right.
I'll be there to defend my family. I'll be there to defend McAllen or the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And once I wasn't going to be on the show, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be up there to defend anybody. They're going to twist is however they want.
Exactly.
Right. You know,
they want to get viewers. Yeah, I got you.
Exactly. They're going to want to make McAllen, the city of McAllen, look like it's this horrible place, and it's not, right? The same with the Valley.
But a home of great food. But yeah, I got you.
and so Taylor and I remember we were in the middle of preparing for this big UTRGV pitch competition.
Right.
And we had to meet with a mentor twice before that competition. And the first time we were going to meet, 6 a.m. at Starbucks in McAllen, he was actually a high school buddy of mine, this mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's punctual. He never misses a meeting. He's like one of the most reliable persons, right?
Right.
And he didn't show up. He slept in.
But
Taylor and I were there. Mm-hmm. And so this was that week when they came and recorded for Dr. Phil, and it gave me a chance to talk to him. Taylor, I knew who he was because he sings on the worship team at our church.
Okay.
So I see him there when he sings there, right?
And right.
Seen him around. I knew who he was, but I didn't know him.
Right.
But and it's been such a blessing to get to know him and to have him come alongside and be a part of this journey with me. And so when we just started talking about what had happened, right? And then you gave me some just amazing advice.
Yeah, so growing up as a Christian, my mom has always made it a big deal, kind of just telling me, what good does it do if you get to where you want to get but you don't do it the right way through God?
Right.
So he's telling me what he's going through, and hey, well, they want me to say this, they want me to say that. And they don't want me to talk about, they don't want me to talk about my faith. They don't want me to talk about the truth and how it's actually gone down.
Mm-hmm.
They want me to just formulate to what they want to say so they can get, like you guys said, the clicks, the views.
Right. Because
that's what everybody wants nowadays in Hollywood or in business or especially in TV.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So
they use buzzwords.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
So I'm like, well, my mom's always told me, what good does it get if you don't do it through Christ? So I told him, if they're not letting you, I guess, say what you want to say and be who you want to be, which is a Christ follower, throughout your journey, then what good is it? How good is it to be successful if you're not allowed to do that?
Right.
So I guess that kind of started making him think, started making the gear shift.
Right.
But you also have to, I guess, take the opportunities that God's given you to do things for him. So and then it's not just like, well, you're not just going to be rude to these people. You want to give them what they want because they're hearing you out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But you also want to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Get me?
Yep. Yeah.
So that's what because Sergio was, and it's a funny thing, he's his high school buddy, but he was also one of my statistics teachers in college. So when he told me, hey, it's Sergio, I'm like, oh, I know that guy. I wasn't supposed to say his name, right?
Well, Sergio, you're on the podcast. Welcome.
It's done.
Yeah, so. I'm looking for you. Yeah, I was like, oh, I know him. He was my statistics teacher, and he was always on time and everything. And he said he didn't show up, and I was like, man, like, what the heck? But luckily, that was a moment sent by God to kind of just give us that moment and that opportunity to talk about the things that really needed to be talked about.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah,
and I love that conversation. Thinking this could be potentially a huge opportunity for me for the book and everything, right? But at what's going to be the price? Mm-hmm. Right. Am I going to be fake out there? And that's not what I wanted to do. So after our conversation, I reached out to the producers and I said, you know what? I'm not 100% sure that I want to let you guys use anything that you guys recorded.
Right.
Wow. And they had already spent thousands of dollars sending, you know, people down here and all that time.
Yeah, exactly.
But because of our conversation, and I knew his heart was in the right place, I knew that I wasn't going to sell my soul just to get clicks.
Right.
You know, it wasn't worth it. Not to do it the wrong way. And
so
after talking to the producers, they said, okay, you know what? We really still want to use the footage. It was some good footage, but we will take out any time you say the words food addiction. And I said, okay, we can do that, right? Because then it won't sound fake.
So the
episode came out last Thursday.
Leave it to Halloween.
And I'm watching it. And there I am using the phrase food addiction at least twice.
Jeez.
And what really upset me was, you know, I'm on national TV saying my brother and sister died because of their food addiction.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, I have to answer to my family now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why did I just throw them under the bus on national TV, right?
Right.
And after the show, I reached out to them. They called me within 5 minutes, the producers again. We were on the phone for about an hour. And the producer was telling me, you know what, it was a great show. I'm so sorry. What can I do to fix it? And I'm like, you can't. I've told friends, family to tune in. Mm-hmm. They've watched it. And now I'm on national TV saying that about my deceased brother and sister,
yeah,
right?
The image is tarnished. Yeah, gotcha.
And so they're like, well, you know, we'll pull the episode. We'll go ahead and edit that out. And I'm like, you can do that. That's fine. But the damage is already done, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember I told him, I'm like, well, I guess that's Hollywood. And she didn't like that. She got a little upset. And she told me, well, you do know that the Dr. Phil show films in Fort Worth now. They're here in Texas.
And like, you know the phrase, sweetheart. Yeah. I'm sorry. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I said, you know what? It's, you know, my brother and sister who passed away, me, I'm not clickbait. They're not clickbait, right?
Exactly.
And I had to hold myself and refrain from saying some stuff. But I remember I wanted to tell them, well, yeah, you can take Dr. Phil out of Hollywood, right? But you can't take the Hollywood out of Dr. Phil.
Yeah, that's so true.
And I left, honestly, with a really sour taste in my mouth, knowing that, you know, Hollywood can twist anything to make it fit however, whatever, you know.
Whatever agenda.
Whatever agenda they have. Exactly.
Yeah. Wanted or was trying to pull, yeah.
Exactly.
And it was a huge lesson learned. I mean, I'm still very grateful for that, but I think from the whole experience, I am so much more grateful for the fact that I got to talk to somebody here who really gave me some just amazing advice that I can use from here going forward.
Right.
So, absolutely. Yeah. And if anything, you can say that the path forward has really been cleared for you. You know, you see exactly what you want to do now.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a good idea, you know, get some public exposure. It'd be good for the book. It'll get, you know, people's awareness up,
right?
But not really,
yeah.
Because it's a twisted version of whatever reality that they were trying to shape,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that people could focus on the wrong thing,
right?
Because mm-hmm. I was saying before when I heard the story, it's like it's really reductive to say that all of the ills that are falling our community here in the valley,
right,
exactly. are because of food addiction, you know, supposedly. That's not true at all.
It's not. It's not.
Especially with what happened to his family.
Exactly. And then not only that, I mean, it's always happened in talk shows. I mean, not to throw our hats in the bucket, but, you know, to get that extra click and make people want to tune in and watch, they want to follow the show. But to turn something devastated something devastating that happened in your life.
Right.
And then just to exploit it the way they did.
Yeah, I mean, that's typical Hollywood, though. Yeah, I mean, that's what you do to, you know, to get and, the views. You
And on top of that, to have the audacity to call you back to say, what can we do to make... And you did the right choice.
Because they knew.
Yeah.
They knew once they saw the interview, like, oh, crap, he's going to have
problems. Yeah, and the thing is, I'm pretty sure they've done so much crap behind the scenes where they say, you know what, we'll just give them money and they'll shoo away and we'll just continue playing it. Yes. And a lot of people take the bait.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you're one of those people that got filmed that didn't say, you know what? No. What you did was wrong, and that's pretty messed up. And to exploit them the way you are right now, that's like a thorn in their side. You know, like, wow, this guy really went out of the way to...
Right.
I'm not saying we're like the biggest platform in the universe here, but I mean...
No, I'll say it. We're the biggest out there.
This is the second time I've been with you guys, and we talked about it earlier, one of the awesome things is you guys are genuine. You're real. Like, who you are now, it's not like you're somebody different outside of this, right? So,
Let's get some.
That's the thing, though. I mean, you can only be fake for so long. Eventually, the truth will come out about who or what you are. Right. So we just decided that, you know, we're going to be who we are right up front.
Exactly.
And however it lands. But, I mean, that's the truth with everything. I mean, for as much as the show might portend to say, like, oh, well, we're about helping people and this and that.
Right.
At the end of the day, the show is about getting views and making Dr. Phil money.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do that without putting out buzzwords like food addiction.
Well, I mean, they had a guy on there that his thing was he drinks a gallon of Diet Coke a day.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, because when I spoke to the producers, I said, look, it's going to sound like I'm upset that I wasn't on the show, but I'm not. But my thing is, that guy is going to get people to want to drink Diet Coke because he's putting in their minds that he's lost so much weight because of that. I'm like, I'm here busting my behind every day, you know, trying to make a difference in my community and around, really around the state and around the country and around the world. And that's who you chose because they didn't want to admit that it was clickbait. And I'm like, that's a definition of clickbait, right?
Yeah.
That's
great. Everything happens for a reason.
Lessons learned. And the thing is that you stood up, man. You stood up. The little guy stood up to the big guy. That's what I'm talking about right there, bro. That's awesome, man. I'm glad you put your foot down, man. At least I'm pretty sure not many people have done that. And if they are, it always got resolved under the tables. Yeah. Well, you know, we give them about, you know, $8,000 or $10,000, you know, just to keep him quiet.
Yeah.
You know, you weren't going to take the hush money, bro.
No, nothing like that. But just to be clear, nothing like that. Like, no.
So that explained the Rolls Royce you have outside? No.
that Porsche that you saw me driving,
that had nothing to do with it. It's all book sales.
So much for taking the high road.
The cool part is that every guest we try to be as much genuine we can with them, man. We try to cut corners.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people ask us, like, when we invite guests on the show, they go, what questions you can ask me? What's the podcast going to be about? Bro, the podcast is about you.
Yeah.
They go, people want to know who you are, where you're from, how you grew up, and how'd you get here? You know, they want to know. It's like going to, hate to use the expression bar, but it's like going to the bar, sitting down, somebody sits next to you, and you just start talking.
Yeah.
He means barbecue.
Yeah,
community barbecue.
There we go.
Yeah. A smoothie shop.
You get to know
your neighbor.
Juice bar.
Yes, juice bar.
Yeah, can you see me weekend? No, you can't. But yeah, I mean, you want to be genuine to that person.
Yes,
this is the way they can be genuine back. You know, you're trying to like kind of rub shoulders, like, hey, man, we want to get to know you, man. Well, who you all about?
You learned that yourself. You know, these people came to you. Oh, we want to tell your story.
Yeah,
but we want you to you know, sell yourself to us a little bit. You know, work with us,
right?
So that it looks kind of like this.
Yeah,
and we're working currently on a documentary about diabetes in the Rio Grande Valley called "Inevitable Inheritance."
Right.
And with our group, our filming group, immediately, actually, it was after we had our conversation. I texted them in our WhatsApp group, and I said, "This is how I felt with the Dr. Phil recording. I said, I do not, absolutely do not want that for this documentary.
Right.
We have
right.
to be upfront. We have to be honest. We have to be genuine.
Yeah, exactly.
And no fakery at all with, exactly. with what we're doing. And
exactly.
I, you know, because exactly. if I'm going to put my name behind that, I don't want anybody yeah. to ever accuse me of, you know, making stuff up or being fake like that.
Right. So, right. Yeah. We got right. a first one here saying Sean Logan. What's up, Sean?
What's
up,
Sean?
What's good? Sean What's Logan. Good? What's good with you? Oh, I saw those pitbulls you have on out there giving away. Pitbull? Yeah, he's selling pitbulls.
Mr. 305?
What? No, not that pitbull.
Oh, okay. All right.
Fireball. Yeah. No, nothing like that. But no, man, good. Shout out to Sean, another great guy. I'm going to have Sean back again. Another great guy on the podcast.
I don't know what he's
hopefully
waiting for.
When you're here. Yeah. But anyways.
Oh, Sean's coming back next week. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have COVID. Sorry.
Also jumping online is Rick Fiz Monsoon.
Oh.
What's up, brother?
Well, hey. Phoenix.
I know that's another guy you want to hit up with. He does a rock revolution, but I'm pretty sure he would take an author on his podcast.
Rick, I'd love to be on there, Rick.
Yeah, Rick, you might want to get Mr. Dave and Norek on your show, man, and bring on Taylor with you so because we still got to learn about Taylor. Yeah, he's
yeah.
still here.
Yeah, Taylor.
He's still here, man.
Got a story, too.
Yeah, he got some stories, too, man. Oh, hold on. Sean answered back. Here you go. They're blues. Y'all, yeah, we are. Yeah, well, this one is not me, but yeah, we are. But anyway.
What's your point?
So let's get to Taylor. Man, let Taylor talk. We're making him nervous.
Hey, man.
Let's take it with Taylor. Taylor, tell us a little bit about yourself, man. Where you're from, you know, and how we already know how you met David. So, but tell us a little about yourself. Where you grew up and how we got here.
Yeah, so I grew up here over there in Mission, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 20 years old. I graduated high school from Sherry Lamb.
He's wet behind the ears, dude.
Yeah, I'm currently a I'm pre-med at UTRGV.
Okay.
Oh, awesome.
Nice.
Hey, all right.
Nice.
Here we go.
Yeah, so I want to be a doctor with a focus in either radiology or pediatrics or even just like family medicine.
Right.
Nice.
Right.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. And it's weird because when I started college, I'm a junior right now, but when I started college in 2021, my whole thing, I wanted to do business, right? I wanted to be a business guy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a business mind. I was good with numbers. So that's what I always thought I was going to do.
There you go.
And then, this sounds bad, but it's not. This sounds bad.
When
it's
you
not.
Say this sounds bad,
it's, all right, let us talk.
Let him talk.
I don't know why. It's just like, it sounds like it might have been a bad idea. So, and about last year in the fall, my girlfriend, she started the nursing program at UTRGV.
Right.
So she starts this and she's like, hey, I want to start watching Grey's Anatomy. Do you want to watch it with me?
Ooh.
And I was like, sure. So I start watching Grey's Anatomy.
That is the baddest thing ever you heard say.
And
this show's over. We're out, guys.
I started watching that show and I'm like, hey, I think I can do that. And it's probably the worst thing because everybody's like, dude, it's not like the show. And I understand that. And I understand that 110%. I understand that.
You're right, Taylor.
Yeah, I understand that. But I mean, I've been around it a lot. One of my tias, she's a manager at a clinic, and so I've been there. I know the doctors, right? And I've talked to them, grew up there.
Right.
Had great conversations with him. For a while, I actually worked in real estate, and the doctor was actually one of my clients.
There you go.
So we have a good relationship there. But yeah, so last December, I made the decision to start doing pre-med, and now hopefully I get to apply to the medical school by next May.
That's awesome.
Congratulations. That's my goal. And that's what I'm doing right now, but
just like Hollywood, we'll edit all that out, bro.
It's been fun though. And I mean, my mom joke around a lot. She's like, I can't wait till you graduate and you're a doctor and you get to tell like when you're making your speech or whatever. And it's like, it's weird because literally one day I woke up and I was like, that's what I want to do. Like, that's what I want to do. That's
right,
my
right,
passion.
Right, right.
And I want to help people.
That's awesome, bro.
And
that's awesome.
It's so cool because now that I get to work with David and with the FitLit, and we haven't even talked about the FitLit programs.
Yeah, well, we're going
to
get into that
right now. We're starting to make, but just helping people and helping build a healthy community because healthy life is a happy life.
Exactly.
And that's what we're trying to promote.
Exactly.
So
that's good.
He talked briefly about, you know, getting his real estate license and doing that.
Right.
And once, you know, I really got to know him, I asked him.
That's
you
when
know,
he bought the house with the Hollywood money. No, I was talking about
that. No, with that Dr. Phil money.
Because he would make some videos and put them on Facebook, you know, right. trying to get out there.
Right.
And I asked him, so how many houses did you sell? And he said,
nothing.
Not a damn.
I don't think anybody wanted to buy anything from a 19-year-old realtor.
Hey, well, at least you tried. Hey,
yeah. I tried. Yeah, no.
But through watching those kids, like I said, at church, I knew who he was, but I didn't know him, right?
Right.
And but through those videos, of course, he would put his number out there. So right. that's how I got his number, and I called him up, and because when he was doing it at UTRGV, I saw him at one of the business. Things also. I'm like, man, right. it would have been cool to work with him.
Right.
And so when he told me that he hadn't sold anything as far as the homes, right? But the next thing he said really like hit home. He said, well, maybe the reason that he did that, even though he didn't sell anything, was so that I would...
You would cross paths.
Our path would cross.
Cool,
and,
man.
Yeah.
And
that's
so cool. That,
that's a good way of thinking about it.
And so that's why, like, man, it's been so cool to just to have him alongside me. Yeah, we've done some really cool things, especially with that pitch competition. Can we talk about that?
That's great.
Yeah, we'll talk about that right now. Hold on, let me get into this first one with our sponsors. Big shout out to our sponsors, man. They're the ones keeping the light on here.
So, okay.
Yeah, you know.
Saving one more month.
Big shout out to the Rabbit Hole. Give them a call, 956-599-0103. They got, oh, man, it's kind of weird talking because we got... Somebody's not even 21 yet.
Ignore that. 21 next month.
Years, Taylor.
Ignore that. Just keep going.
They sell liquor. They sell. See, I'm sorry, man. I mean, they go right up.
You're ruining the commercial, dude.
Adult novelties. Cover your ears, Taylor. And a lot of great other stuff. Smoke and even stuff. You want to be a tattoo artist, man. You want to give them a call, man. Head out there. Talk to them. Great sponsor of the podcast. One of our longer, growing podcasts.
One of our longer sponsors. You know, just really great people. They'll give you whatever information you need or, you know, they'll help you whatever
CBD
they can.
CBD also. They also carry CBD out there. You want to give that shout.
CBD.
Also, another big shout out to the Buzz Bull Creamery located at 529 South Texas Boulevard. What's phone number 956-998-2541. You know, we're doing talking about diabetes right now, and we're offering sweets, bro. I'm offering liquor and sweets. But you know
what's your point?
My point is,
finish the commercial.
This is a great place to go have a good time.
Yes.
If you ever had infused ice cream with liquor, this is the place you want to go, man.
It's absolutely.
Dave's over there. Well, you know.
For a once in a while treat, it's good.
Not a bad idea. But yeah, head out there with Vidi, man. She has some great, great specials. Hit her up.
They also have non-infused ice cream, which is you know, just as good. And it's great for the whole family.
Yes, it is. It is also another great sponsor, Anora. Constructions, these guys right here have been a great sponsor of the podcast.
Yes.
Want to give them a call at 956-363-7195. Great craftsmanship.
Yes.
Residential, commercial, remodel. Give these guys a call. Been having great, great phone calls with these guys, man. They've been having a lot of work up in Houston. Austin, Dallas, out of the state of Texas. Come on, Valley, pitch into these guys.
Exactly, out of the state of Texas.
They have been going to the state of Texas. Yes, they've been rocking and rolling, bro.
What are they doing outside of state of Texas?
Hey, man, let them just, all I know is I'm getting 10%. But
I'm just joking. No, they are really good people, really honest, and they'll give you a really good quote for whatever service you need from them.
Like I said, big shout out to those guys, man. I appreciate you guys, all of you that are sponsoring the podcast. Thank you so much, man. Without you guys, you wouldn't keep the light on here for us, man. And, you know, just we're going to keep rolling here, man. Keep rolling with these podcasts, all these great guests that come on the show, man. We really do appreciate you guys. So let's get back to this. We're talking about something about it. What was it? What were we saying?
A pitch contest.
Pitch contest.
The UTRGV business plan pitch competition.
All right. Well, I mean, if you need a commercial or somebody to set up a building, you might want to call North Construction. But pushing it out there, buddy. Push it 10%. Don't forget. tell us a little bit about this, man. What's going on?
So this competition was open to UTRGV students. I'm a grad student. Taylor's undergraduate student. Mm-hmm. And so you know, when I reached out to him, I'm like, hey, man, would you consider possibly coming along and helping me with with the pitch competition? And he was gracious enough to say yes. And he's brought in so many awesome ideas. But real quick for that competition, the day of the competition, we got, it was here in Westlake, and we got there pretty early, and we were rehearsing and practicing, and I think we got it, we flubbed every...
Now, we probably messed up like 100 times, and we didn't get it right a single time.
For those of you that don't know what a pitch is, it's not anything to do with baseball. All right? No.
Go Astros, though, by the way, baseball.
Well, damn, I should have bought my Rangers cap. But yeah, it's setting up to a key to pitch an idea.
Yeah, like Shark Tank.
Shark Tank, yeah, I got you. Go
and,
ahead.
And last year, actually, last year I won the Dell National Pitch Contest.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah, awesome.
So that was really cool. And so all these pitch competitions that I've done, it's just been me. And I've always thought, man, I would love to have somebody do it with me, but it's got to be somebody I can trust and put my faith in, right? And
when
Taylor came along and I got to know him, I'm like, wow, like, and then, yeah, he's only 20, but this guy has so much wisdom, so much knowledge. He brings so much to the table that I've told him, like, hey, man, I've never looked at your age to be something as a detriment to whatever we're doing, right? It's, to me, it's like, it's a blessing. Like, he's come up with some awesome ideas. I initially wanted to do two books. He gave me an awesome idea for a third book. So, but anyway, so yeah, all that day we were just messing up our warm-ups. And we get on, it was our turn. And like in these pitch competitions, we made it to the top 10 finalists, right?
Yeah. Right.
And you either want to go first or you want to go last. Because first, yeah, you leave a, or you know, you have a great first impression. If you go last, you leave a lasting impression.
Right.
Exactly. We got number five.
So we're like, right in the middle.
Yeah. Somewhere right in the middle. Yeah. And we get up there and, man, we knock it out of the park. The only,
there you go.
The only time we messed up, which is funny, because we each had a microphone, and then we had the clicker for the slides. So, but we had rehearsed, like, when it's his turn to speak, you know, we just do a smooth transition. I give him the clicker, so that he can, right? Because we each have our own mic, and both times when we had to like switch, we're over here giving each other the mic instead of the clicker.
So the next slide.
So that was the only thing, but man, that was a perfect one. Other than that, right, we nailed it. Like,
yeah.
That's awesome,
man.
That's awesome.
And it's kind of scary. I mean, it doesn't feel that scary because it's probably about, when you're in a room, probably about no more than 50 people.
Right.
And
just 50.
Yeah, about 50 people.
About
50 people. And they give you a time limit. So you have 5 minutes to kind of present. Like pitch your business, and then you got 5 minutes to answer questions from judges. So you can always prepare for the 5 minutes, right? You can have it down to the point. But those last 5 minutes, like, it's like a free-for-all. Like, they can ask any single question, and you don't know what to prepare. I mean, I like to say, especially, like, when school, you don't know what you don't know until you don't know.
Right.
So, I mean, that was probably the scary part. But luckily we did good, like David said. And yeah, we ended up winning first place.
That's awesome.
First
place. Bro.
I told him the day of, I'm like, man, like, I'm going to put it out before God. I'm like, if God really wants us to like keep moving forward with this thing, we gotta come out first place.
Yeah.
And it was a tough competition. There were some great ideas,
really good businesses
and good pitches. And so we hear third place and it wasn't us. And I'm like,
well,
you know, I'm like heart racing a little bit, and second place, and it wasn't us. I'm like, oh gosh, like here it is. This is the day I'm gonna like just give it all up, right? And and when they announced us first place, man, it was a really surreal moment. You know?
I'm sorry, dude. I don't want to throw a wrench. That was you and me going for some podcast award, and we come out, and your winners are.
Fuck all of you. Fuck you. I'm out of here. This is your fault.
This is
the fuck out of here.
We fucking won.
What?
We fucking won.
What?
We fucking won.
What the hell are you saying?
I don't know. We won.
That's kind of what it felt like. I think we were both thinking that, and we were
like, we fucking won.
Get out of here.
Check.
Check again. Are you sure? No, but that was so surreal. That was really cool. And yeah, we won. And like initially, I had the idea to do two books: The Adventures of Exo and Psy, Adventures of Arrow and Bix, like aerobics.
Right.
And then this dude comes and he's like, "I have an idea for another one," and I'm like, "Okay." And you came up with?
I think it's Flex and Bill.
Yeah.
So.
Oh shit! Oh, okay. I like that one. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
So like flexibility.
Yeah. So he came up with that, and I'm like, dang man, like,
and I gotta write another book.
No, but like, it's like something like on my own that would never have happened, but
right,
having this guy on board. And then, you know, after we won that competition, you know, word gets out and you know, we get invited to do that pitch to, I think it's like it's called the RGV Angel Network. I don't know about you, but like,
I wasn't expecting what it was. So they told us, they're like, "Hey, well, since we want you guys to represent the ETRGV CIC, which is the business, the School of Business, right?
Right.
We want you to represent them and kind of show them, and show this board, this angel network, what we've been doing, right, with the business plan competition.
Right.
So we're thinking that we're just gonna go and pitch in front of like a board meeting or something, probably about like 10 people.
Right.
We walk in and there's probably about like another like 30 people sitting there. Mm-hmm. They're all wearing suits. Yeah. Like even the girls are wearing like pantsuits. Like these people look intimidating, like scary. These were legit like investors and people that had money that they wanted to give to people to build businesses.
Right.
This isn't like a pitch competition. And the lady that was in charge tells us before, where she's like, "Hey, well, you guys are just going to go, like, just do your thing." So we're like, okay, so we're there, and the whole thing has changed. Like the whole way we feel, we're like, man, now we actually have to
he's put go.
literally.
You go. Pitching? No.
Well, I mean, there was somebody pitching from, he came from outside of the valley.
Mm-hmm.
He actually was on Shark Tank and he had gotten a thumbs up from the sharks.
Yeah.
Okay.
He had gotten, and he's here in the valley asking for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh,
you know, we're talking about like, what I was like, man, this is where all the money in the valley is. Because these companies are asking for, I think one company was asking for several million dollars.
Yeah.
And we were like.
We won 10,000 in our pitch competition.
You get one guy, I got you.
But you know what? Because there was one person from the valley, the other two were not from the valley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I always try to be real humble, but I can honestly say, and you can attest to this, we held our own.
No, yeah, it was pretty good.
Our pitch, it was the best one.
It was pretty good, and that pitch actually got us, I guess, into our next phase of what we're trying to do. Because I think at this point, the FitLit programs, which we're going to kids programs, which we're going to talk about in a bit, wasn't even an idea.
Right.
So like, there was nothing there.
It was just a book?
Yeah, it was just the book at this point.
Right. Okay.
And then we're sitting down. Everyone's kind of taking like a lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
And the superintendent, it is, right? Or leader of the board?
One of the main guys for Region 1. School district, right?
Yeah, so Region 1, if you're not familiar, it's like the headquarters for school districts.
Right.
Yes. From Laredo all the way to Brownsville.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And he comes up to us and he was like, "Hey, like, I want you guys to kind of, I want to hear more about you guys and what you guys have. Would you be fine coming to speak at one of our board meetings?"
Wow.
And we're like, sure. That sounds fun. And we're like, "When's the meeting?" He's like, "Oh, I think it's like the day after tomorrow."
Yeah. One less.
And we're like, okay, we'll be there, right? So that's when now we're like, okay, shoot. Like, this is the opportunity to kind of like, I guess, do more than just a book and have a bigger impact than the book, and kind of stretch it out and meet what I guess our goal is. And that's to help kids, and not just kids, but their families as well.
Right,
and I guess kind of teach them about obesity and diabetes and what it's like to live a healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we kind of made this like the whole FitLit Kids program, like they outlined in like a day.
Well, real quick, I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
It wasn't we. It was him. Actually, him and his girlfriend.
It was
the day of the meeting, I'm like, okay, we're just going to pitch the book, that whatever, what we did to win the competition, right?
Right.
And we get, we get there to Region 1 in Edinburgh, and he gives me this sheet of paper. And this book has gone from The Adventures of X1SI to Fit Lit Kids.
Oh.
And this whole program for schools in the Rio Grande Valley, something we're going to actually take it outside of the valley, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so I'm like, you could talk about it, but it was him and his girlfriend that, like, they were the brain children for this idea, which is like.
They was like, I'm going to sit in the back seat like Miss Daisy and
Lady. Yes. Huck can take it over because. No, but like,
yeah, so
like, yep, like, do this.
Yeah, so I mean, like I said, it was just an opportunity to, I guess, kind of expand and do more than the book. And I love, since me and David met, he's told me everything about FitLit and his story and what he wants to do. And
right.
I fell in love with it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's always more to be done. So that day we had the meeting, I'm like, I don't know if we should just show him a book. So I'm going and I'm writing. I go on my notes and I'm typing basically what the outline is for the FitLit Kids program. So what that is, we wanted to, I guess, incorporate a new way for physical education to be done in elementary schools.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So personally, growing up, I went to PSJ and then I went to Sherryland. But I saw the same thing when I was in younger schools, when I was in PE. Some days, yeah, you go outside, you play games, right? And I love my PE coaches, and this is nothing against them. But some days they sit us in a room, and we'd be watching The Magic School Bus, or we'd be watching Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Right.
And we weren't getting taught what we were supposed to be taught in that class, or we weren't having, I guess, the fun and playing sports or doing exercises that we were supposed to be doing.
Right.
And that was kind of sad, because I remember every time we'd go, and they're like, oh, we're doing this. Oh, man. Like, we have music class today. Oh, man. Like, it felt like they were always just kind of making excuses to not teach us or do these exercises.
Right.
So I don't know if it was the lack of planning. I don't know if it was the lack of maybe the school districts not giving them enough stuff or but I don't know. So I just wanted to kind of change the way that was done. So we're kind of connecting the books and PE. So the first book is The Adventures of X1SI. Right. And they do like a lot of, I guess, miscellaneous exercises, kind of like squats. Yeah. They do sprints. They do planks. They do jogging, a lot of jogging in place, right? Jumps. So how can we do that and incorporate into PE to make it fun for the kids?
Right.
So these programs, it's like a right thing. Right now we have a 23-week?
20-week.
Oh, 20. So it's a 20-week program. So it's like, I guess, it's about 12 weeks and 13 weeks, like instead of between the fall and the spring. Just kind of giving lesson plans to the PE coaches, what we would want to call FitLit Fridays.
Okay.
So we know at least for sure on these FitLit Fridays, these students are getting what they need from their PE classes, whether it's a workout day or whether it's a game day, whether it's teaching about flexibility, whether it's teaching about healthy foods. So they're getting these lessons, and it's not coming straight through us because that wouldn't be credible enough.
Right.
So we have partnerships, or he has partnerships. We have partnerships with. You want to talk about our partnerships?
Like Unidos contra la Diabetes, yeah. South Texas Juvenile Diabetes Association.
Wow.
Yes, people like that.
Yeah. So these are people that know their stuff, and that I think that's the most important part, because no one's just going to listen to, you know.
Right. So
who knows? Listen to me.
Yeah. So I guess that's what we're trying to do with the FitLit Kids programs and change the way it's done. Kind of make like a blueprint to PE, because I mean I loved. Going to PE, and I want the same thing. Because I remember we're actually doing a book reading, because he does book readings at schools. And where we go, he reads the book, and he does the workouts with the kids. And we did it, I think the school had like probably like six PE periods, right? Let's just say six.
Mm-hmm.
We only did four book readings that day.
Okay.
The next period was coming in. We're getting our stuff to leave. The first thing the PE teacher does, or I think it was a substitute, I don't know, sits the kids down and puts Phineas and Ferb on the screen.
Are you kidding?
There we go.
So that entire PE period, the kids spent watching Phineas and Ferb rather than getting their physical education in that class.
Pretty much their exercise.
Taylor just threw all those PE coaches under the magic.
No, but it's
you're giving me two laps when you're coming tomorrow.
No, but yeah, and I mean, it's sad because, I mean, the kids, it looked like that they were used to it in that moment. Like, they just sat there and they were just watching it. They didn't seem happy to watch it. If they were happy to watch it, that'd be different, I guess, right?
Right.
But they didn't seem like they were happy to watch it. And I've never met a kid that doesn't like running around for 20 minutes.
That's true. That's
so, true. And just having fun with their friends.
Right, yeah.
So I guess what we're trying to do with the FitLit Kids is just make that happen for kids, not just in the Valley, but God willing, eventually for the rest of the
country,
world.
Why right. Stop there, right?
Yeah. Growing up, PE for me was like, well, first thing you would go out there, we'd do the stretches, then make you run the lap around the playground.
Right.
And then after that, it was either free time, we'd go run all over the place and make havoc all over the schoolyard or whatever. Yeah. But working in some of the school districts, I mean, being a teacher's aide mm-hmm. or, you know, seeing coaches itself through the years, you can see it started mellowing out a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know down here if it's more because of the the heat mm. or it's, you know, I mean, and not to make excuses.
Well,
you know?
let's be honest first, because, you know, coaches are teachers, and you know, after a while, teaching can
it can be exhausting
dealing with kids coming up with stuff to keep them motivated,
interested. Right,
and let's be honest, the coaches. If it's not football related or, you know, some of the sports related, you know, the other kids can just, you know, run around, or, you know, if they want to sit down, they're not going to say anything because, again, they're tired or they're exhausted or they just run out of ideas.
Yeah. Going back to that, as far as the heat down here, there was a lot of kids that, you know, that were admitted because of heat exhaustion. Stuff like that. Not to put anything away from you guys. No. It's just that I guess that scare that they got, you say, well, you know what? Mm-hmm. Let's pull it back a bit.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean,
because how many schools now, you know, like in kindergarten or first or second grade, have recess anymore?
This is true.
How many schools have recess anymore?
This is true.
But to that point, I would say 90% of the schools that I visit, the gyms are now air conditioned, which is different than when we grew up, right? Yeah. But most of them do have an AC.
There's some schools that don't have a gym, and they're outside under this pavilion where the heat's just coming down.
Yeah.
I can understand the movies when it's raining outside. Okay, it's raining weather. Yeah, we can sit down. We can see a movie. That's the way it was back in the day.
Sure.
But with this book, hell, you can just open up an open classroom, have them line up and do something.
Yeah, right.
You know, don't take phys ed from the kid just to have them sit down and watch a damn movie.
Right. What's crazy also, the McAllen ISD, their PE classes are now only 30 minutes.
Another thing. No. I've noticed that PE time is shorter than what it used to be.
It's 30 minutes, but the coaches, every time I've gone to McAllen, they say it's not even 30 minutes because it takes us 5 minutes to get the kids ready when they come in.
Right.
And then 5 minutes to get them ready to leave.
Right.
So we really only have like 20 minutes to get them to do something.
It's ridiculous, man. I think it's ridiculous. Growing up through the years in school, I remember playing the playground for like an hour, hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
well, I mean, historically, that's been some of the program that's been cut from schools.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen it. Like, if you watch, there's old YouTube videos that show like from when our parents were going to school, like back in the good old days, like the 50s, there was actual physical ed. Like, you had like programs, like you needed to be able to do
sit-ups, push-ups.
You needed to be able to liners, run a mile.
Yeah, run a mile.
You know, I saw like 14, 15-year-olds with abs and shit, like from the 50s. I'm like, compared to like today.
Is he in the Marines? He's in third grade.
No, it's
Jesus Christ.
He is in the fifth grade. It's crazy.
And he's benching 250.
Okay, shut up. But I mean, just seeing that difference alone should tell you how far it has come.
Yeah.
It has just slid down the, you know, for X, Y, or Z reasons.
Yeah, and for also another great example, lunchtime. After lunchtime, growing up, shit, you wanted to finish fast
because
you go on the playground.
Yeah. So
nowadays. Nowadays, like, you eat, you have to sit there and wait. They pick you up, and you go back to the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like there's no activity happening in there, you know. And I can understand, you know, no throwing out to the teachers, whoever. Yeah, I understand teaching is a difficult thing. Mm-hmm. But these kids need to get worn out before they get home.
Yes.
You know, give them their full potential of running around there and just burning out all that energy.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's tough for being out there, hey, get in line. You're like down for 5 minutes trying to get, and they're like, hey, they're all over the place. Hey, man, that's part of the job.
Yeah.
That's part of the job. You know, you got to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I do agree with you. I have seen that.
Yeah.
But like I said, going back to the book. I mean, you can just clear up one empty classroom, put about 30, 40 kids in there, and read the book. Hell, the cafeteria's not being used. Use the cafeteria and get about 50, 90 kids off to do it.
Exactly.
You know? It's something to keep them active, to keep the heart pumping, the blood going.
And even with that, I have a YouTube video that's free on my website where I read the story, and there's a personal trainer who comes out, and she does the exercise.
I saw that.
So, one. I mean, it's right there, just... Pop play, right? It's a 28-minute video.
You want to show videos? Show that video.
Exactly,
man. Yeah. Man, that's awesome. It's great to know that you're out there pushing phys ed pretty much obese valley, the way they want to say it.
Yeah.
I still think circle is a shape. But
it is. But, it's just not healthy
shape. Yeah, it's not healthy shape, you know. Whatever you say.
Pizza, fuck you too.
Great. Fat pizza's awesome. Yes, I am. But, yeah, man, I mean, to have that, this book in the school systems through the PE teachers.
Well, to have the message out there.
Yeah, it's out there.
People hearing it and listening to it.
That's awesome.
It's really going to change things.
Uh-huh.
I'm really glad that, you know, you've been so successful that it really bodes well for the community, that people are ready to hear your message, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
56 minutes into the podcast.
Dude. Oh, wow. God, I got to go to bed.
What time?
Yeah.
It's about that time. Yeah.
Well, before we can I plug one thing real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mentioned quickly about we're doing this documentary called An Inevitable Inheritance.
Go for it.
Yes. And of course, I want this to be a community effort, right? So we're coming up with something to try to get funding called Dollar for Diabetes.
Okay.
And you know, if the Valley, and we're not asking for thousands of dollars. If the Valley, somebody could just donate $1 to help us get this thing to make it happen, right?
Right.
And like for me, unfortunately, just thinking about it, I'm going to donate $1 for every family member that has been affected by diabetes in my family.
Right.
So I'm looking at donating about $12, which
there you go.
It's sad, right?
No, but I hear you.
But I want this to be a community thing. I want more people to see this. That it's going to hit home. That there's nothing fake about it.
Yeah.
And also, if anybody's interested in, you know, having a role as an executive producer, we can talk about that too as well.
There you go.
I think we talk about what legacy are we going to leave? Mm-hmm. You know, when we're gone, this is what I want to leave. This documentary. It's going to be hopefully shown, you know, when I'm gone. And but hopefully if all this, if everything we're doing saves one life, it's all been worth it.
There you go. There you go. I hear you, man. Wonderful. And it's the truth. Well said, man.
Yes.
Well said. Absolutely. Well said. Yes. I'm going to donate $1 right now to one person that has diabetes in my life and is important to this show, wanting to get better because I can't miss having anybody else on my left-hand side bickering at me left and right. So here's $1. I'm going to give it to Dave right here right before he leaves. I'm going to put it right here on the table. That's for you, buddy. I'm putting that for you.
I only have hundreds. So.
Oh, my God. Oh. Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah. Pick me up. Oh, I've got 100 in my pocket.
Oh, I got 100. Sorry, Dave. You're just going to hit me up some other time.
Guys, social media so they can follow everything you toss out, so they can follow and subscribe to you guys, man.
Find more information.
We have a new website, fitlitmovement.org. That's a new website. They can find everything on there. Mm-hmm. I do believe I'm on Instagram, David Norick, or David Norick 14, I do believe. And Facebook, David Norick Exercise.
There you go, right there.
I have it on the screen. And TikTok, too. I'm going to be getting more active on TikTok.
You can point on the screen like that, buddy. It's right there in front of you. That little camera.
And we also have these new posters.
Oh, this is a new poster. Man, this is the one you were showing us, man.
That's right.
That is awesome.
It's an amazing poster.
These cool posters of Exo and Sci-Fighting chips.
Yeah.
So, Damn, yeah, Chips.
I would have lost that fight real quick. Yeah,
okay. I've seen you lose that fight. And Taylor?
Taylor, go ahead, man.
We kind of share those socials. Yeah, so we'll share the fitlit.com. We're working with that together, so.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Okay, and they can find information about the book. And
yeah, on the book, and hopefully, well, soon right now, we're working on putting all that information about the Fitlit Kids programs.
Awesome.
So okay. Anyone that wants to incorporate in that in their schools, we're working on that. That should be done by God willing this fall. So we'll have the full layout for the the 20 plus week, for the 20 week, 25 week program, 20 week program.
Awesome, awesome. Program.
And I'm sure we can keep the QR code on our Facebook.
Oh, yeah, it'll be on there. It's linked on there automatically after the show's out. You can go back to the comments. All of them are right there. Just click on it. It'll take you directly to David's book so you can go on and purchase it, man.
Yeah.
Great book to have in your library, you know, especially for the little ones. They're just sitting down playing video games all day.
Absolutely.
Give them a book.
Give them the book.
And join them in the fun, man. Make it a family thing, you know.
You know what? Buy it if anyone knows a teacher. Mm. Buy it for the teacher. Buy, you know, so
maybe,
you know,
influence it inside the classroom. When the classrooms are have nothing to do, look like everybody's asleep. Get them off their chairs.
Hey, if they buy a book and they mention Chew and Ooh, then tell them I'll go visit for free.
You just shot this thing in the foot.
This thing in the foot, David. If I call, you don't show up? And I'm like, no, the other way around.
If you don't buy the book, I'll show up.
Oh, you definitely want to call. Trust me. You don't want to call. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's lighting up.
You better believe. Take my leg off right now.
Dave. Thank you so much for coming to the podcast for
time. Thank you, Taylor.
Yes. Welcome to being on a podcast. Well, the Chew New podcast for the first time. There's going to be more podcasts coming your guys' way. So,
You're welcome to come back here anytime if you want to talk about that new third book or anything else that's going on.
Exactly.
Appreciate you guys so much.
Man. Oh, we got a late comer here. You know, if you ever need a short little exercise guy, this is the guy you want. This is the guy who doesn't need the book because he is a book altogether. The size of a book. Sorry, Mando. Every time you come on, buddy, I'm going to take a shot at you. How'd you do over the week, man? It was a lot of range. You had rubber dickies on so you wouldn't drown. Anyway. He's in a car. I want to have with the wrestlers. And I got another one more here by Jennifer,
Jennifer Vallejo.
Vallejo. Hello, David.
Hey, Jennifer, how are you doing?
There you go, guys.
So glad you tuned in.
That's awesome.
Where have you been?
Show's over.
Show's
over. Dice que, you know, David knows me. Ah, David, you know him.
Ah, okay.
You know.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Armando, yes.
Man, I feel sorry.
I'm waiting for your. I'm waiting for Armando's heel turn at the next wrestling event.
Here we go. It's going to be something else. Not really going to be a big turn, not a little turn. But we got a lot of comments coming.
Christy, what's up, Christy?
What's going on? Like I said, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you. Whenever you, like you said, come with that third book, don't hesitate to hit us up. Send us some links. I have a Chew Thompson on our Facebook page and our Twitter and our Instagram.
And we'll send you guys an invite for the documentary when it comes out.
Yes, for sure. Yes. I'm sorry. Let me put it on there because I know he's going to have a little fit. Like they were saying, a little fit.
Michael saying hi again.
Oh, my God. So, guys, thank you so much, man. We look forward
thank to you guys.
Seeing the documentary and seeing the new books coming out, man.
Appreciate it.
I see great things coming your way, man. And I hope nothing and wish you guys nothing but the best.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
No problem, man. My bad. Hold on. There's one more here. What is it? Awesome show. Thank you for the highlight. Yes. Yes.
Anytime.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Those guys.
Whatever.
Guys, that is the podcast for this week. Join us Thursday.
This Thursday.
It's finally going to happen, guys. It's finally going to happen. We're going to get a full exclusive on the new Gears of War
E-Day. Yes.
By Carlos Ferro, the voice of Dom. Oh my God, dude. I've been playing Gears like crazy the last couple of days, dude. Nonstop.
And Beefy Boy Roe is so jealous right now.
My BFF is so jealous right now.
Yeah.
He can't be here.
We're locking the doors.
But guys, tune in this Thursday, 7:30. We'll have him on the podcast live via satellite. Let's say that via satellite.
Via satellite.
Unfortunately, he can't be here. But if he was, trust me, I wouldn't tell you. But guys, David, Taylor, thank you once again for coming on the podcast. We appreciate it. Good luck. You guys on the way. Nothing but blessings, man. Hope everything goes well for you guys. We will see you Thursday, 7:30. Oh, man, it's going to be a good one, though. You ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready. Like always, guys. Laters. Gators. Peace out.
Bye, man. Y'all are calling up to send. Yeah, Pakistan, be a friend.